Joining us live over the phone this morning is Jeff Arnold. Jeff is the radio play-by-play voice for the Baltimore Orioles. He's agreed to come on the air to talk Major League Baseball with us. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. An exciting time of year for baseball fans. We want to have our listeners get to know you a little. Tell us about your background and how long you've been calling games for Baltimore. Understand you've been doing it for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I certainly have. Duke, thanks for the time. By the way, you might have the best broadcast name that I've ever heard. So I
born
give
and given.
I give, yeah, very, very good broadcast. Is that your real name, by the way?
Born and given name, Jeff. Yeah, my dad was a huge John Wayne fan, so it's kind of more that, but it worked out okay.
Wow. Well, I'm impressed. I saw your email, and I was like, man, I got to do this guy's show. But to tell you about my background a little bit, I was in minor league baseball for 8 years, and I was with one of the Orioles minor league affiliates starting in 2014, which was actually the last year they hosted a playoff game there. That was the famous Delmon Young game, as we all remember, where he hits that big double and drives in J.J. Hardy, and it's maybe the loudest the Camden Yards has ever been. So I started in 2014 with the Orioles, and then I made it up to the major leagues in 2020. So it's kind of an interesting stretch when I got there because we were doing the monitor baseball thing, and the Orioles were right in the middle of a rebuild. They had just started that process the year before. 2018, they sort of tried to go for it one more time. It just didn't work out. So in 2020, I ended up arriving, and then last year was a year that I think a lot of us weren't expecting, a huge turnaround where they were the last team out in the American League. And then this year, you come in and you expect to be building off of that, and they did in a way that I don't think any of us could have expected. So Philadelphia native originally, but I'd say that I've been mostly a Maryland native since I've graduated from college. So this is home for me now, and it's incredible to see what the Orioles are doing.
Well, Jeff, as you've been able to kind of witness this, as you've said over the last 8 years or so, the turnaround really is incredible, but baseball kind of seems to be that way. What do you attribute the turnaround to? I mean, is it just everybody hitting on all cylinders as far as the front office and finding the right talent, or is there some luck involved? Tell me how that works.
Well, you know what, Duke, when you are in the American League East, luck's usually not going to be good enough. You have to have really good players, and being able to compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, you know, those are three teams that are perennial contenders that have huge payrolls, and then you have the Tampa Bay Rays that have this magic sauce that no one can quite figure out and that's gotten them to the playoffs year in and year out. For the Orioles, it kind of all started once their rebuild ended, once their rebuild began. You know, Mike Elias came in, took over for Dan Duquette, and basically, you know, had to start over. I mean, the Orioles were behind as far as analytics goes, drafting, player development, international signing, you name it. There was a lot of work to be done. And so for Mike, you know, the biggest tool was the draft. Mike had a lot of experience given his time in Houston and in St. Louis. He was a very experienced talent evaluator. And the Orioles, when he came in, were going to have the number one overall pick in the 2019 draft. And they got a guy by the name of Adley Rutschman. And then I think it was 41 picks later, they got a guy by the name of Gunnar Henderson, who's probably going to be the American League Rookie of the Year this year. And so what it came down to was drafting well, which the Orioles did, developing talent well. There were a lot of new coaches and player development people brought in who kind of understood maybe some of the newer training methods for how things work. The Orioles, you know, for lack of a better term, were more old school in the past and didn't quite use these things. So it was new player development people that came in there, and then you had this infusion of talent through the draft, and Mike Elias did a really good job of that. And then you take all that plus a manager in Brandon Hyde, who had done pretty much everything there was to do, from being a professional player to being a manager to being on a major league coaching staff to being a head of player development. He had done it all, so he had an idea as to what this was going to take and where the Orioles were going. It wasn't easy at the start. It really wasn't easy for the first 3 years. But then last year comes along, things start to turn around, and, you know, I give Mike Elias a lot of credit sticking with Brandon Hyde. I mean, many times when you're in Brandon's spot, your first-time major league manager, as you watch across the game, a lot of times it means you're the guy before the guy, but they stuck with Brandon. He's shown to be a great tactician, a really good manager, somebody that everybody in the clubhouse loves and has been there from the very beginning. So between those two, bringing in new talent, plus finding a way to develop the talent that you already had, and then some shrewd waiver claims in there and finding maybe the right guys who just needed a tool or two to figure it all out, the Orioles have been able to hit on a bunch of these different players, and that's allowed them to develop a model which is going to carry them into the playoffs this year, and no matter how things turn out, should sustain them for years to come. And that's what Mike Elias said when he got to the Orioles. He wasn't just trying to make a quick fix. It was going to take a little bit of time, but by the time it got finished, it was going to be an Orioles team that would be able to produce year in and year out.
Jeff Arnold, radio play-by-play voice for the Baltimore Orioles, calling us live this morning on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. Jeff, you mentioned the magic sauce that the Rays seem to have year in and year out. They got them off to a hot start of the season. They played well all year, and then they get swept in the wild card round against the Rangers. And now, so it's Baltimore and Texas in the ALDS. What do you see in this series starting tomorrow between Baltimore and Texas with the Orioles and Rangers?
I see two offenses that are really similar. The Rangers and the Orioles are two of the best teams in baseball hitting and runners in scoring position. That's going to be a big key. The Rangers have guys that can mash, that they can flat out hit. And their at-bats in the AL wild card were really, really good. They did benefit from, in the first game, the Rays having maybe as bad of a defensive game as I've ever seen them play. And so that helped them out. But they're also, they got good starting pitching too. So they went to Jordan Montgomery, who was lights out in the first game, and then Nathan Eovaldi, who's been struggling, pitched really well in the second game. I feel like the Orioles have the advantage in the bullpen. The Orioles' pen has gotten 5 days off. They don't have Felix Bautista, who tried after he suffered a tear in his UCL. He tried to come back, but the Orioles ran out of time, so he's going to have Tommy John. But the Orioles still have a lot of options and guys who can do different things out of their pen. The Rangers, their bullpen is a little shakier. They sounds like have three guys that they really trust. And after that, if you can get maybe to some of the softer spots of that bullpen, you can take advantage of them. But I would say that against the Rangers, it's probably not the team that you want to be getting into a slugfest against. We saw them back in April. Orioles took two out of three there. The Rangers came to Camden Yards. They took two of three at Oriole Park. And that was largely due to their offense. And as we saw that day and those 2 days where their offense was really cooking, they have a lot of guys with a lot of experience, guys like Corey Seager, who will be in the American League MVP consideration. He's not going to win it, but he'll probably be on the short list of guys who will be considered for it. They have a lot of talented players, and then they also have Bruce Bochy, who is one of the best playoff managers ever. So the Orioles are definitely going to have their work cut out for them, and hopefully the rest is going to help them out.
You know, Jeff, you look at the other side. You got the Houston Astros and the Minnesota Twins. Just some thoughts on that as well on the other side of the American League. But also, did the wild card round shake out as you thought it might?
I was a little bit surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, the Minnesota Twins are an offense that can get kind of hot and cold. I mean, in the playoffs, so much of it comes down to, can you hit home runs? Can you strike guys out? And the Twins can certainly hit long balls, but they strike out a ton. And then their pitching staff is really good. So, you know, the Blue Jays were just a team that we saw them a couple of times, and they had a lot of guys. It's like, they should be better than this. And they just never quite figured it out. I thought the decision to remove Berríos, that felt like something that maybe came above John Schneider's head. That was a really baffling move, in my opinion. I'm sure they have their reasons for it, but, you know, it kind of reminded me of the Blake Snell coming out in 2020 example, only the example of what occurred with Berríos was a little more extreme. So I didn't really understand what they were doing there, given Kikuchi had not come out of the pen all year. So I didn't really think that was a smart decision. But, you know, I felt like the Twins are a team that they could beat you in a short series at home. And then the Houston Astros, their 1-5 is as good as any club in all of baseball. They have got a good bullpen. They've got some question marks in their starting rotation. You know, they got Verlander and Framber Valdez. And we saw Christian Javier at the end of the year. He looked like Christian Javier, who was lights out all of last year. But will their starters be able to do enough for them? But that's the kind of team that you were kind of like, if they can get into the playoffs, they're probably not a team that you want to see. It felt like it wasn't quite the same team as it was a year ago, but they're still very dangerous. And with Dusty Baker and all the experience they have, they're a team that you wouldn't want to see either.
Jeff Arnold with the Baltimore Orioles radio play-by-play on the air. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate your insights. Just one last question for you. Outside of finishing the postseason now, we've been through a full year of baseball with the new rules, the bigger bases, the pitch clock. For someone like you that's living in it day-to-day in Major League Baseball, associating with the players, what's your perspective on the rule changes this year? What did it do what it was supposed to do, and do the players, for the most part, like it or not?
I think they do. I think there's maybe a tweak here or there. You know, you hear from pitchers that it would be nice if, with nobody on base, they would allow one disengagement or just a step off once. But I think the players like it. I think they've adjusted to it. I personally love it. You know, before, it had just gotten into territory where games between the Orioles and the Yankees, or the Orioles and the Red Sox, or so many teams, it's taking 4 hours to play nine innings. And people will say, well, baseball isn't played with a clock. That's not baseball. I'm like, yeah, well, standing around for 15 minutes while all you're seeing is pickoff throws and foul balls and walking in and out of the batter's box, that's not baseball either. So I feel like it was necessary. I can tell you that I think it's a much better product. If you look at the numbers for how many more people came to games this year and the increase year in and year out, I think it's the most radical change that baseball has ever been made. But I think it came at a time where it had to be made. So I love it. I think it's great. I think people are getting more engaged. They think in this day and age where attention spans are shorter and people are on their phones a lot and always looking for things to do, that playing 4-plus-hour, 9-inning games is just no longer tenable. And I think Major League Baseball did what it had to do to make sure that the game was a more digestible product. And I honestly think it's a better one.
Jeff Arnold, radio play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Orioles. They take on the Rangers first game tomorrow in the ALDS, and we'll see how it all shakes out this postseason. Jeff, thank you again so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Duke, it's been a pleasure, man. Like I said, best broadcast name I think I have ever heard.
Well, we'll see where it goes. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, born and given name, so go John Wayne.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, that's Jeff Arnold on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. Are you-